Father, we worship and we thank you, Lord. Thank you for your glory pouring upon us right now. Angels ascending and descending. We thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. That we say that they are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for us who are the heirs of salvation. Lord, we thank you, and we are calling to the innumerable company of angels. Whether we see them or not, it doesn't make any difference. We don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. In the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Father, thank you for blessing us this morning in our worship service and our praises, Lord. In the name of the Lord. Father, now, oh Lord, as we read your word this morning, Lord, bless the reading of your word. Father, we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Our Lord is good.
Amen.
He is coming soon. Praise the Lord. Let us rejoice and be glad in the name of the Lord. So this morning, really quickly, I want to talk by God's grace a serious problem facing humanity today. Where, for decades, for ages, and so on. What is that serious problem? It's called worry. Praise the Lord. It troubles the world. Even with Christians, it troubles the Christian and all that, So this morning, overcoming worry. Praise the Lord. That is the message. Overcoming worry. Men and women in all walks of life are knocked by persistent anxieties that take a toll on their lives. By the time I finish, you will see somebody that worry is doing to mankind, Physicians say that one half of all diseases are nervous disorders, and they owe their origin to worry. It is further claimed that a large proportion of hospital beds are occupied by people who have emotional problems. So they say in medical world, I'm just quoting them what they say. Now, apart from the medical field, some other people outside the medical field recognize the worry problem, and they wrote about it. And they even attempted to recommend prescription for worry. They tried to, And I want to name one of them, a very popular one. One such was De Carnegie. You should have heard of him before. De Carnegie, an American writer and lecturer, developer of courses in self-improvement, salesmanship, he does that kind of thing, corporate training, public speaking, and founder of the De Carnegie Institute and some of that. Very popular. You could hardly miss him in this. He's gone now. Back in 1955, he passed away. And in 1936, he published a book. And this is how they know him so much. This book is so popular. I've never read the book before, but that's Win Friends, How to Win Friends and Influence People. It's all over the world, So in 1948, that book sold about 30 million copies, they said. I said one of the most best-selling books of all time, they say.
Yeah.
Anyway, now in 1948, he wrote yet another book, published and called it, How to Stop Worrying and Start Living. Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
How to Stop Worrying and Start Living. What does that mean to me? It means by this title, this guy has tagged worry as a killer. That's right. He's not a medical person, but just a writer. I don't know that, And, it means that this man knew that worry is a killer. And that's true, really, Anyway, in that book, which I've not read, here is what he says. He gave three steps, according to him, calculated to help people end worry. Number one, analyze carefully what could be the worst that could happen as a result of a possible failure. So what is worry about? Maybe I will fail, right? That thing will fail, right? So he gives three things. Analyze carefully what could be the worst that could happen as a result of a possible failure. Number two, he said, reconcile yourself to accepting the result should it happen. This is his word. I'm not saying I'm going to follow what he's saying, Number three, use your energy to try to improve the worst which has already been accepted mentally. These are the three things he said, Well, that's a good advice, really. As far as the word wisdom goes, that's a good advice. As far as what is concerned, that's a good one, right? But not to the Christian. The Christian has has a better thing than that, amen. Praise, yeah, the analysis is good, analyze what is going on and things like that, you know. But to come and reconcile yourself to defeat, I mean, that I cannot take, amen. Praise the Lord. Anyway, but for the people of the world, that is good enough. Now, why am I mentioning him really? That's not because of that. You know, now, the Bible, in what he said, yeah, the Bible says, the Lord said that the children of this world, right, they are in their generation wiser than the children of light. In Luke 16:8, that's what the Lord said that. In that way, yeah, you know, they are wiser in their generation than the children of light. The problem is this, you know, they are not wiser in the matters of the world to come, amen? Amen. In fact, they are so infinitely foolish concerning the things to come of the world to come. Only in this way are they wiser. Concerning eternity, they are just greatly foolish, infinitely foolish, as far as the world to come is concerned, you know? So we don't envy them for anything, praise the Lord. Amen. This world will soon pass away. And with God's wisdom here, we're not living with our head buried in the sand, amen? We have the wisdom of God. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So, well, you know, I want to say that the word of God, I mean, tell us, you know, so now one thing is this now. So, now, he wrote another book again. Another book that he wrote. That's where I bring him in here. Not because of another book. Now, what is most interesting about the book that he just wrote is that, he seemed to have beaten many Christians in their own game. Why did I say that? You know, this book that he wrote, you know, that I just read about, How to Stop Worrying and Start Living, he beat many Christians in their own game. Why did I say that? Because he made another recommendation of how to end worry. And I read it. You know, that's why I brought him in, not because of what he said before. And he advised people to concentrate on the problems of today rather than those of tomorrow. Then he went ahead to quote the scripture. That's why I mentioned it, not because of what he said before, you know. Here what he said. He quoted the word of the Lord in Matthew 6:34. Verbatim. And he says, "Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." The man quoted the word of the Lord, you know. That's why I mentioned his name, you know. Praise the Lord. So it is worth mentioning that the Lord, of course, when the Lord, by that statement, people will be classic. What does that mean? Bible says don't have anxiety about tomorrow. Does it mean we shouldn't plan for tomorrow? Not really, you know. The law does not mean that we shouldn't plan for tomorrow or make preparation for tomorrow. No. It meant that we were to have no anxiety about tomorrow. That's what he was saying. We have to make plans. All those kind of things, you know, and that we should not waste our energy believing and regretting the blunders we made in the past. That's what the Lord is saying, you know. So don't have say about tomorrow. You can plan for it and so on, you know, but don't begin to regret and reliving, you know, the blunders of yesteryear, you know. Bible says don't do that, you know. So another scripture. So that scripture is in Philippians 3:13, the great apostle, you know. And here what he said, he said, "One thing I do," in Philippians 3:13, he said, "Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." How many of us are tied to the past? Whom are they seeking? Yeah, things will come to you once in a while. But don't let them get the better part of you. Amen? Praise the Lord. You know, that the Paul said, "I forget what I passed by the grace of God. I just move on to the thing that are yet to come," you know. Even Isaiah the prophet, Isaiah 43, the Lord is saying this to his people and so on. 43:19 of Isaiah, "Behold, I will do a new thing." Don't get tied to the things of the past. "I will do a new thing. Whatever happened in the past, let it go." You can't bring back the past, right? Let leave it to the hand of the Lord. "Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." The reason why worry tells people are past is this. Satan will tell you there's no way out. That's why worry has its power. Satan will tell you there's no way out of this problem, you know, and so on, you know. Bible says, "I will even make a way, in the desert. I will make river in the desert, no matter what you need." God says, "I will make a way for you," amen. But worry comes about because Satan will tell you that, "Hey, there is no way out of this problem," and so on, you know. And then you begin to worry, you know. So that's how it goes, Satan, you know, the wicked one. Now, the law also meant we are not to fritter away our strength worrying about the problems of tomorrow. We should live one day at a time. That's what the Lord is saying. Amen. We should live one day at a time. Now, it is so important, that statement, that we should do one at a time, that it is, to me, is the most important lesson taught by the manna that was given to the children of Israel in the wilderness, living one day at a time. That is the most important lesson that the manna miracle taught. Let me quickly read that scripture to you in Exodus 16:16. You know, so we're not talking about one day at a time living, no? And so, this is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Moses talking now to the people of Israel. Gather of it, meaning the manna, every man according to his eating. And an omer for every man, according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in your tent. If in your tent, you know, they are moving in tent, huh? If there are 10 people in your tent, take 10 omers of the manna each day. No, and so that, you know. Now, look at verse 19. Moses, God told them, Moses said, let no man live of it till the morning. So it's a day thing, you know. Of course they refused. Some of them refused. And they gather more than they need. And then of course Bible says it's tank, right? So the lesson God is teaching his people is to live daily, you know, one day at a time, you know. And many Christians get themselves in terrible confusion in their daily affairs simply because they do not apply the simplest rules to carry on their business. The Lord gave us a certain amount of intelligence, all of us, you know, and he expects us to use that wisdom. Sometimes we don't even use that which God has already given to us, common to all persons, and we're looking for some other things, you know. Anyway, if we do not use what God has already given to us, then we can see unnecessary trouble in our life, you know. Many people's trials are simply caused by their own foolish acts. They act on their emotions instead of getting to the facts and thinking things through. See, you just act on emotion instead of just sitting down and saying, what has happened? Where that man was right, analyze it, you know. But don't accept defeat, right? Praise the Lord. See that, analyze and are committed to God. That's how to get out of this thing, you know. Now, see? Now, so God does not put premium on carelessness. God does not want us to be careless. Praise the Lord. There's no magic. There's no magic remedy for irresponsibility either, you know. God does not want us to be irresponsible. And he puts no premium on carelessness. And we have to be careful as Christians. We must avoid being accident prone. Don't just be target of this and that and some of that, you know. And another thing is this. Failure to take proper precaution is also sinful too, you know, whether we know it or not and so on. Let's see examples in the Bible. How the word of God, you know, taught us or admonished us to be cautious, to be cautious. Let me get about two or three in the Old Testament really. God told the children of Israel, talking about carefulness, right? That when they build a house, to put battlements around the edges so that they will not have an accident. That is in Deuteronomy 22 verse 8. And I read, when thou buildest a new house, then thou shalt make a battlement for thy roof, that thou bring not blood upon thy house, if any man fall from thence. Carefulness, right? I'm sorry? Bastionet, there are many versions of it. Sometimes it could be in the Old Testament, building, when you build a house, right, at the top of the roof, sometimes for defense, they put a certain slot in there. I don't know how to describe it, a certain slot, you know, on the roof. If you have this adobe houses, right, mm-hmm. What you see there, maybe they have, now they call certain holes at equal intervals. So that is like for protection, number one, and also the cause of an attack. People can hide between the holes, right? And when an enemy comes through that hole, they can attack them. Anyway, so it's a kind of a protection. Like Bible says, you don't fall off, you know. But it has many uses, you know. So some people use it for defense, others. So that's what it, kind of a difference. The major thing that even the law is so steady that you have to be very careful the way you build your houses. So that's carefulness, right? Another one is this. If a farmer had a bull, meaning a cow, whatever, which was known to God, meaning to attack people, he was to keep the animals fenced up. See how God is teaching carefulness, right? That is in Exodus 21:28. If an ox gore a man or a woman, that they die, then the ox shall be surely stoned, and its flesh shall not be eaten, but the owner of the ox shall be guilty. Now, but, verse 29 says, but if the ox were wont to push with his own in time past, and it had been certified to its owner, you see, carefulness, right, and he has not kept him in, but that he has killed a man or a woman, the ox shall be stoned, and its owner also shall be put to death. Carefulness. One more. I just got three of them. Praise God. Have to be very careful. Now, Christians, now God's people. So another one is this. The last one. I want to quote here. In the same book of Exodus 21:33. And if a man shall open a pit, or if a man shall dig a pit, and not cover it, and an ox or an ass fell therein, the owner of the pit shall make it good, and give money unto the owner of them. And the dead shall be his. So look at examples the law that Moses did. I look at many the law of the land here. I mean, I look at it many times. It's kind of pattern against the law of God, the book of Moses and that God gave to Moses and some of that, So example for carefulness, in the Bible, even in the Old Testament and so on. So we have to be very careful in what we do. We can't just do things like that and just be, we have to be very careful and let God guide us. As Christians, we have a special set of problems. Now, worldliness is almost to all mankind. But we believers, we have a special set of problems. What is that? We are automatically special targets of Satan. That's it, So he doesn't care about the unbeliever. I got them in their hands, right? But you and I are targets, of the devil and so on. And he want to make us to worry ourselves to death. We have to know that and not be a slave to him and so on. Now, the scripture says that at the end of the age, he shall wear out the saints of the Most High. Daniel 7:25. That is, at the end of the age, which is the end of the age right now, he shall wear out the saints of the Most High. Even that scripture is that will take place fully at the time of the Great Tribulation, we know that. Doesn't mean that even now, Satan isn't doing that now. Already at it, already, So we know that. So we have to be cautious, we have to be careful, we have to be watchful, many Christians are aware of this unseen enemy. That is even the worst thing, We are aware of this unseen enemy. And thus their defense against him is wholly inadequate. The enemy that unseen, but it's there, and there are many, many Bible verses that tell us about this. And we still make the mistake of not recognizing the enemy. I give one scripture in Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Whether you like it or not, as a believer, that's what you are up against anyway. Praise God. No matter what else you think, that is what you and I, as believers, are up against. So, but against principalities, against power, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So, when Christians don't pay attention to this thing, what happens? Often, their first knowledge of Satan's attack is when some tragedy strikes them. See? They don't do a day-to-day inventory, if you want to say that one, or what the wicked one is doing. Like Job, one misfortune after another may come upon them until they see they can take no more. See? And like Job, they do the same thing. They usually fail to understand who is responsible for their troubles. Job made a mistake in what he said in Job 1:21. I say, the Lord gave, Pastor, that scripture, I remember, did not give, and the Lord has taken it away.
Mm.
Papa Job was wrong, you know. We know today he was wrong. Yeah, God gave, the devil stole, amen.
Mm.
The devil took away, not the Lord, you know. God gave, but you know, but the devil took away. Because we are told later that it was Satan behind the scenes who destroyed Job's cattle. But the devil who sent the cyclone that destroyed his children. So the devil who produced the boys which caused him so much pain and misery. So we know those that the Bible tells us later, you know, Job was in the midst of it. You know that and many Christians got into many troubles, even though these things too, you know. People who have many troubles and trials often suppose that God is responsible for them, when in reality it is because they fail to build bulwarks against the devil. You have to daily fight the good fight of faith, brethren. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord. It's a fight, really, you know. But we have the captain of the host with us, amen. It's a one battle, really, you know. You take your time with the Lord and let the Lord fight our battle for us, you know. So anyway, so you know, we see the idea, you know. So and so now they are like soldiers who make no defense against a surprise attack of the enemy. A re-arming and so on, we may prepare for a surprise attack, right? So many Christians don't know that the devil is the one behind most of their problems. Don't do that. So they are suddenly attacked, you know, and they are unaware. So, and even today, I report many Christians have neurosis and stomach ulcers simply because of constant tension and worry. In seeking relief, thank God for medical science and so on, they may resort to various remedies, tranquilizers, they make them feel better for a while, but this do not eliminate the cause, right? Hence, the symptoms come again. Doctors have proved that stomach ulcers owe their origin to worry and tension. That's what they said. I'm not a doctor or anything like that. That's what they said. And when the brain worries, according to science, the news is carried by the nerves to the stomach. So according to what they said, the doctors who can't get their patients from worrying, from what they say, I don't know science, you are medical people here, what they say they do is that they cause what they call the vagus nerves that connect the brain to the stomach, and they call it vagotonomy or something like that, you know. Praise God. because this is a serious subject now, because all of us have experienced worry one time or another. So I just want to do, I did a little bit of research on this thing and so on. So the surgeons who can't get their patients from getting worried, so they do a surgery, they call it vagotomy, you know, which consists of cutting the nerve connection between the brain and the stomach. So when it is cut and your brain is worried, your stomach won't know it. You see? That's the solution, really. I don't think so.
No, but
yeah, there is a connection. You see, there are nerves. So your brain is working, right? There are nerves, cells, and so on that run through the body. So they are saying that this other thing is caused. So when the brain is worrying, okay, this nerve connections, so connect to the stomach, right? So, I can give them ulcers, right?
They
do cause all this. They call it the vagotomy. How they call it? V-A, I have it here. V-A-G-A-T-O-M-Y. Anyway. Okay. Never know about that. Okay. That's what you say in science, though. So that makes you feel, so it causes ulcer in the stomach. When they call it and your brain is worrying, then your stomach doesn't know that you're worrying, you know. But we have a better answer, you know. Praise the Lord. Anyway, let me say one more thing again. We have all heard about 80-20 rule, right? 80-20 rule. We all know about that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I will talk about this a little bit. 80-20 rule is actually named after an Italian economist. His name is Pareto, P-A-R-E-T-O. His name was Pareto. Now, he was the founder of this rule and so on. And he was an economist back in 1895. Here's what he discovered. He noticed that people in society seem to divide naturally into a top 20% in terms of money and popularity and influence. 20% of the whole population, that's what he found at that time and so on. And the 80% of the people are at the bottom, you know. Then later on, he discovered that virtually all economic activity was subject to this same rule, this same principle, in that 80% of the wealth of Italy during that time was controlled by 20% of the people. So this 80-20 rule continued to appear everywhere, you know. That's what he says. And today, people have found out, people in business, that this Pareto rule, 80-20 rule, has been applied in almost any situation, even in businesses and so on, you know that, you know. So what am I talking about it? It turns out also that about 80% of the thing people worry about have no reality behind it. That's what they say. About 80% of what people are worrying about have no reality about it at all. So even the 80% rule is applied to this, people are finding out today, you know. So the remaining 20%, and even so as a Christian, you can find your way around it, you know. So we live in a world of danger and sudden disaster. We know that. It's natural for people to fear that something will happen to them. All kind of things happening today, you know, and people have that tendency. But when analyzed, that man said, almost 80% of what people are worried about have no reality whatsoever behind it, only by 20% of it. And thank God for that 20% too, by the grace of God. I want to talk about how we can get rid of them too, by the grace of God, amen? Praise the Lord. So now, let's see. So with all the things happening today that cause people to worry, now maybe a job situation today, we are living in the days of automation, you know, and the robots are all over the place, right? People are losing their jobs because of that, right? That sort of worries, right? The part of the 20% that is remaining, right? So maybe somebody lost his job or something like that, you know. So that's a sort of worry, right? Or a disease struck somewhere in the family, that's a lot of worry, right? So now, how can you now tell people around you to stop worrying when all these thousands and more things are happening to people around them and they think it can happen to them too? What do you say? What do we do as a Christian to avoid worrying? What do we do? Has the Bible anything to tell us about that? Absolutely yes. So here is what it is. In Philippians 4:6, the great antidote to worry. I'm telling you, if we do the word of God, I don't think it will be easy, but if we do what God says, we can escape these things. Be careful for nothing, he says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I think I will prefer this prescription that is someone cutting my nerve between my brain and my stomach, you know. So now, this scripture tells us what? It tells us not to be anxious about anything. You say this, King James Version said, be careful, right, for nothing, right? It means be anxious for nothing. And this is what the Lord was talking about on the Sermon on the Mount that I referenced before. But he take no thought of tomorrow. He meant that we were not to be anxious about the morrow. And the Lord went on to say in Luke 12:25, the Lord said this, and which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? And the Lord said, if ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take it thought for the rest? Why worry? Why worry about it, you know? You can't get anything about it. Worry has never been known to solve any problem, really, you know? It complicates it. In other words, you can't change anything by worrying, you know? You can change something. The only thing you can change is this. You can change your stomach You can change your heart, part of your body, and what? And they become what? They know you. You just hurt yourself, you know? That's how you can change, by warning. So, and I think, you know, it's a worthy lesson to learn. This enemy, it's a great enemy, really, you know? So, the only thing you're going to change by warning is your stomach, your heart, and your mind. So that they don't work properly. How is going to happen? So, so worry is destructive. It makes people ill. It poisons the system. It blocks the mind from peace. Worry delays spiritual blessings and answers and things that you expect from God. Worry will do all those kind of things, you know. Worry shortens human life. The Lord therefore commanded us not to be anxious, not to be worrisome. Look at all the things. I just list a little bit of what it does to people. Shortens life, you know, poisons the system, blocks the mind from peace, delays spiritual blessings, including answer to prayers, and things that you expect God to do for you. I think we should take all the time we can to learn to by the grace of God. Now, so what do we do now? Now, a couple of things here. Take time to get along with God each day. In 1 Peter 5, 7 and 8, I believe it is, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. So I think that is right. If it's there, I don't have written it here. Just know that one. Now, so take time to get along with God each day. Each day means each day, right? The Lord taught us in Luke 18:1, men ought always to pray and not to faint. So that means by get along with God each day. Another thing is this. Take time to recognize and become conscious of God's presence in your life, around you. It tells you in so many words, in so many scriptures, in Hebrews 13:5, hear what the Lord said to you. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. As you may say, the Lord is our helper. Hebrews 13:5. One more scripture, Matthew 28:20. We are saying that take time to recognize and become conscious of God's presence wherever you are at. I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. He said, Amen. That 28 of Matthew, verse 20. Think about the Lord Jesus himself. He taught by example. Do you know he never taught the devil to pray at any time until they asked him, Lord, teach us how to pray. He taught by example, you know. Bible says they saw him pray at one place. When he has seen, let it, Lord, teach us how to pray, right? Now look at the Lord himself. No matter what happened, there's no anxiousness, there's no anxiety. Was it in the boat and it's a big storm? He just sat on a pillow, amen? Praise the Lord. No anxiety, you know? No care, no that we perish. They were freaking and they were fretting and they were anxious and so on, you know? And the Lord said, oh, you of little faith. And so I just said, you know, calm. And that was a great calm, you know. Oh, your friend Lazarus is dead. Sick unto death and so on, you know. He still waited four days before he even moved at all, you know. Talking about his thought by example, you know. So anyway, so what he's telling us to do, not to be anxious about anything. His good friend was sick unto death and so on, you know. So anyway, we can keep on going how the Lord taught us this thing and so on. Another thing is, take time to praise him for what he has already done. When this cloud of anxiety comes, discouragement and worry, take your time. Shake that off. Turn into praising the Lord. I can understand what David meant. I will bless the Lord at all times. Not when I have a big paycheck or a raise, or I got a new, no. At all times, in war and in peace, amen? I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. So take that to praise him for what he has already done for you. Psalm 103 is a case. Psalm 103 verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Verse 2 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. What is against you today? Count your blessing and so on, you know. And there is more going for you than what is against you at any time as a Christian. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now there are more angels on your side than there are that are against you, amen? Either way, we are winners but we must know whom we are. So now, many people are very, very ungrateful. I don't know why, you know, and they never thank God for their blessings. Instead, they go their self-willed way, and when something goes wrong, they become sullen, and even they become indignant. We know that. Why did God do that? Why did he do that? Why did this happen to me? Why did God do that to me? No, God didn't do it to you, you know. Such people will never enter into the realm where they are free of worry. Let us learn to praise the Lord. Some think of worship as just only asking God to do something for them, you know. People who never thank God for blessings already received become mere beggars. That's who they are, mere beggars, you know. Let us learn to praise the Lord. If in time of worrisomeness, it's time to really praise the Lord the more to get you out of that quickly. Now, the one thing that we can give to God in return for his bounty is actually our worship. And David knew so well. And the Holy Ghost made it to write it in Psalm 50, verse 10. For every beast of the forest is mine. So what are you going to give to God? What are you going to give to God that he did not have? Or that he already gave you before, you know? So for every beast of the forest is mine. And the cattle upon a thousand hills too, their mind said the Lord. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. So what is this? If I were hungry, the Lord said, I will not tell thee. For the world is mine, your world is mine, and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls, or drink the blood of goats? Offer unto God thanksgiving, so I'm going, and pay the vows unto the Most High. 15th verse says, and come, now see, instead of worrying, I'm telling you, turn into praising God. See what you get from there. Verse 15 says, what are you to get, you know? Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. Not to be worried. That is the easiest way to do. You don't get into a warning. And we all do it, you know, one in a time, I tell you, know. And call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. You say there will be no trouble, but I will deliver thee. Many, many scriptures here on that thing, I don't know. But praising God, see what he's going to do for you, you know. So call upon him instead of warning, you know. The day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. We are to put the future day by day into the hand of the Lord. These are the antidote to worry. What I'm talking about right now. We are to put the future day by day to the hands of the Lord. Most of the worries we have is not about today, it's about what will happen tomorrow, really, you know. That's right. You know. So today is already here. And so what will happen tomorrow, you know? That obligation over there, why don't you meet it? All those kind of things for tomorrow and so on. The Lord taught us, let us live one day at a time, you know. When God, it is the wisest thing of, and that is the wisdom of God. And God will back up his word. Anyway, to that extent, Psalm 37 verse 5 says, commit thy way unto the Lord. See? Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Don't fret, you know, commit your way unto the Lord, and trust also in him, he shall bring it to pass. Doing that, then we be at peace, you know. Now nothing is it. We are to commit our family, our children, our relatives, our friends, our home, our finances, our problems, our physical health, our neighbors, our job, our office, just to name a few, all into the hands of God. Now, how often do you do this one? Every passing day. Amen? I'm telling you, every passing day, because the enemy is he doesn't sleep really, you know. He knows his time is short, right? And like I said before, Bible says, you know, he will start to wear out the saints of God at the end of time. Commit them to the hand of the Lord that I have listed, you know, and so that, you know. Be it children, relatives, and so on. We are to do this every passing day. See? Now, we are to do it sincerely too, and with full assurance that God will hear us. that he will lead us in all things in life. He will do it. That our decision, will be right decision. I have to do all these things day by day. We have to be thorough. We have to be diligent in all these things and be sincere, you know. We have to pray thus in the full faith. In full faith that our God is able to make all things work together for good. Oh, that will get out of worry too, you know. When you have done your best, right? Committing all things to God, something is happening. You can rest on Romans 8:28, you know. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So with all these things now, which I'm finishing right now, we are moving into the God-appointed pattern of life. When you are taking care of all these things at all. As we consistently place each detail of our life into the hands of God, the powers of the infinite are at your disposal. They will work for your good. I say it again. As you consistently place each detail of your life into the hands of God, the powers of the infinite are at work for your good. Bulwarks are built against the enemy as you do all this every day. Vulnerable areas in which the enemy may attack you are closed off because I have committed all things to the hand of the Lord, right? They are closed off, you know. Invisible angelic messengers silently guard us against unseen danger. That what happened. They are ministering spirit, right? Oh, see? Many times. It's not bragging, but bragging in the Lord. I had a minister many, many years ago. I think it was solving some financial issues. And then it was, I've been praying about this finances and so on. It was a minister and so on, well known worldwide minister and so on, you know, pray about finances and so on, you know. God, why are you praying about finances? The money you are asking for is not in heaven, it's right there on earth, you know. Tell the angels to command them to bring the money, you know. And that minister, his life changed financially, you know. He's gone to glory for a long time. Now today his son preached the gospel by using aeroplanes, right? From a broken down car. See what I'm saying? He said God showing the secret of financial and so on. Command the angels, why? The administering spirit. See? And by the grace of God, I've had this many things in my life too, you know. So command the angels, you know, they know minister for you, they are made that way, you know. Praise the Lord. Good to testify. You know, I learned this from many years ago. And you practice what you have heard of me among many witnesses. Also tell other people and so on. Why? We testify so that we can also all learn iron sharpness, iron. That's why we're having fellowship, right? I believe what he said, and you can do it too, you know. Command the angel to do things for you and so that, you know, according to the will of God. Anyway, so I'm finishing here. I got about two more scriptures here. Now, so Hebrews. So I say invisible angels, messengers, silently are guiding you against unseen danger. Hebrews 1:14. Are they not ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Psalm 91:11. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Psalm 34:7. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. So when we have all this scripture in our heart and thinking about them and listening upon them, that will drive away worry. Good things begin to come to you as you do these things. Instead of disaster and tragedy striking suddenly and leaving us tuned and broken, God is on our side. The Lord anticipates the evil and overrules it so that it never reaches us. The qualification for all this blessing is all in Psalm 91:1. Here is the secret. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That psalm is very, very important for the day we are living in. It is for those who go to the secret place of prayer and who regularly present all their problems to Him who has the power to deliver. No problem is too small for the Lord. No one is too big. See? Now, It is for those who make prayer a business in their life, you know. So not when I have time. No. So it's a business-like thing, you know. These then are the master key to freedom from worry and frustration that have been known. No man can be anxious for nothing unless he first of all learns by prayer and thanksgiving to daily make known his request to God. That is the only antidote. Let the Lord handle your problem. Cast all your cares upon him. That's the way to do it. But he who does this and is faithful in maintaining his prayer hour may have a peace and serenity in his inner soul, which passes understanding and of which other little dream of. Bless your heart. Praise to the Lord. I got three more scriptures. I thought I have one before, you know. Now, so in Psalm 1, verse 1, Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor seated in the seat of the scornful. Look at verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And watch this phrase. And in his law does he meditate day and night. When you are doing that, then worry we have to take his flight, isn't it? If your meditation is in his word day and night, what happens? Then you have no room for worry, right? That's right, because you are day and night, you are meditating upon the word of God. Now, in Job 22, verse 21. Acquaint now thyself with him, meaning with God. And be at peace, the God of peace, right? Thereby good shall come unto you. See? Verse 22 says, receive him. Or receive him. I don't know. And lay up his word in your heart. So instead of all those who worry and nerve-wracking thoughts and things like that, you know, want to tear one apart, lay God's word in your heart. Meditate day and night in his word. The two cannot coexist. The worry can't coexist with the promises of God in your heart. Isaiah 26 verse 3 says this. Thou will keep him in perfect peace. Instead of worry, whose mind is stayed on thee. Who is he? The word of God, isn't it? Jesus is the word of God. Because he trusted in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever. Not just sometimes, you know, forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Antidote to worry, right? If your mind is just staying on the Lord, not just haphazardly, Bible says, you know, forever, then it's a great antidote. Lastly, in Psalm 23, verse 6, so this is what you say to yourself when you wake up in the morning. You can say this to yourself, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me, amen, all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I will not backslide. No, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Goodness and mercy, day breaks and so on. Good today. Glory be to God. I don't care what problem I had yesterday. Let that go, you know. It's another day right now. This day, goodness and mercy will follow me and so on. Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Have the mind of Christ, amen, in everything that we do. Praise the Lord Jesus. That's why, no matter what the storm was, it was sound asleep and so on. Some of the apostles even demonstrated this kind of thing. Brother Peter was to be murdered the next day, right? In Acts 12. Yes, he slept so soundly, right? Praise the Lord. See, they have learned from the master. He was with him in the boat when the storm was raging. You know, the master was asleep, you know. So praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. This is a great enemy. And all of us have experienced the torment thereof. But we don't need to continue in it at all. See? In the name of the... That's why the Bible gave us all these antidotes. You know, we don't have to be a slave to worry anymore. Be anxious for not, no matter what they are, no matter how big the problem is, God Almighty said, be anxious for nothing. Nothing means for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, just make our request known unto God. And the Almighty God has promised and covenant said that if we are sincere and we truly do this, that the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep our heart and mind through our Lord Jesus Christ. So Father, this morning as we go, help us to meditate on these things and put them into practice. Let us get into the habit of practicing the scriptures in the name of the Lord. Let's not be just hearers of the word of God, but doers of the word also. The Bible lacking the one that just hear it and don't do nothing about it in the book of James chapter 1. You know, look at yourself in the mirror, straight away when they don't know how they look anymore. We don't want to be like that. We want to practice the scripture in the name of the Lord Jesus. He that loveth me is he who keepeth my commandments. And for our good too. So we thank you for the reading of your word this morning. Lord, let it be mixed with faith in us, O Lord, and to bless us in all the days to come. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise
the Lord. Thank you. So I know we made some prayer already before.